Newstalk ZB Canterbury Mornings with John McDonald. It's time now for our regular catch-up with the National Party, and today leader Christopher Luxon is with us. Morning, Christopher.
Morning, John. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. Tell me, have you sent the Labor Party some bubbly yet to thank them for taking the spotlight off National?
No, I haven't. Look, I mean, I've actually stayed well away because I'm not going to pass any judgment on that situation. That is entirely for Labor and Jacinda Ardern to manage, and I think that's the way it should be.
Well, if Gaurav Sharma had been one of your MPs, would you have suspended him like Labor has?
Again, I'm not really going to get into it. I'm not going to disappoint you with my answer, but I just generally feel it's an issue for the Labor Party and Jacinda Ardern to deal with. And so, I'm not party to the inner workings of the Labor Party. That's up for them to deal with, and I focus on the National Party.
So we joked about last week. Just, I do have a question. I gather on TV this morning you said that the details of the Sam Ufendil inquiry aren't going to be made public or are going to remain private. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think in fairness to the people involved on both sides of those allegations, I really want it to be a high-quality investigation by Maria Chu, who's QC, who's doing that work for us. And for those people to feel that they can get involved and present their side of those allegations, I think it's important it does remain confidential to protect them. But having said that, what you'll be, I'll be very clear with the public about the outcome and the rationale for how we got to whatever outcome it is. But I'm not sort of predetermining where that's all going, obviously, letting Maria do her work over the next 2 weeks, and then we'll take it from there.
So is it the detail that isn't going to be made public, or the final findings and recommendations that aren't going to be made public?
Well, I think what will happen is, as I said, last week was the terms of reference. Are very focused around this new allegation that we were unaware of. That's what her primary focus is. Having said that, if people have any other allegations, they should be free to be able to input into that. I imagine Maria will come forward with a set of findings, and then I will digest that with the president and then articulate sort of the rationale for why we've got to the decision that we've got to.
A survey this week by One News has found that most people don't think those on higher incomes should be getting a tax cut. 65% of those surveyed were against it. What's your reaction to that, given that tax cuts so far have been a major part of your policy for next election?
Well, look, I mean, we make no apologies for being the party of low taxes. I mean, Labor is the party of high taxes, and we just have a fundamental belief in the National Party that people should keep more of their own money and save it and spend it as they see fit. And that's why we've made a commitment to say, look, we're going to unwind the 7 new taxes that the Labor government's introduced over this parliament. I think in doing so, that ends up benefiting all New Zealanders, as well as our commitment to indexing tax thresholds to inflation. So, that's just how we feel about it, that we fundamentally believe that we should get people keeping more of their own money.
Unwind is quite an anodyne term, isn't it? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, I just mean it's things, to be honest, John, like, up here in Auckland, there's the Auckland Regional Fuel Tax, there's the ute tax that's been passed through. You've got a mortgage interest tax, tax deductibility for tenants and landlords. We'd unwind that. We'd unwind the bright line extension that happened. We've obviously got 39% top tax rate. The other one that really worries me that they're bringing in is actually a jobs tax, in the sense of they're putting this national insurance scheme together. But that means that employers and employees are going to have to pay about 1.5%, I think, from memory. And we've also got what we call a value uplift tax up here around light rail as well, where people living in that area are being charged extra. So those are the sorts of things where they, if we unwind the Brightline test and restore interest deductibility, we think those two actions have actually added to $50 a week extra in rents across the country. So, that's where it benefits people when they can actually get their own money and work out what they want to do with it.
But if you've got 65%...
They'll do more with it than what Grant Robertson can do with it.
But if you've got 65% of people saying they don't think people who earn over $180,000 should be paying less tax, how was that a vote winner for you?
Well, it's just coming from a point of view that we think it's important to be able to attract a lot of people that we need in this country. And so if you're a doctor or a surgeon or an engineer, we just want to make sure that we are competitive and attractive in a tax sense. It's a piece of it. I know it's not all of it, but it's a piece of the consideration for those people wanting to come here. But we just come back to the fundamental principle, which is that we opposed this at the time, and we think we want to unwind all those taxes they've introduced.
How concerned are you about the prospect of people with extremist views getting into local body politics and into Parliament? It's come into view in the last 24 hours with the issue here in Christchurch of a white supremacist trying to get onto the board of a local high school. Also issues with the Voices for Freedom, aligned people standing in local councils, and then the likes of Brian Tamaki, with aspirations for Parliament. How concerned are you about that?
Well, I think what's really important is that all of that's in the public domain, right? And I think, you know, if there's been previous convictions and all of that sort of thing, that should be really transparent and available for all the voters to see in those elections, whether they be school boards or whether they be local government or central government for that matter. So, I think that's the most important thing, so that voters can make the most informed decision. Clearly, I wouldn't be supporting the white supremacist individual that's running, I think, for a school board down there. But, that's I think, important that all of that information is just available so people can make their own assessment about that.
Is there a place in Parliament for the Voices for Freedom?
Look, I just can't see them getting in, to be honest with you. And I know, I just can't see them making it, to be honest. And for us, at our point of view, we're just sort of looking at, we're not sort of getting into coalition arrangements. We're just really focusing on trying to make sure every quarter we're doing our job as a national party and bringing the party back and making it competitive and get people to see that we can be an alternative government waiting, and we are one.
Just on that subject or the topic of coalitions, it's been suggested in the past 24 hours that perhaps National and Labor could form a grand coalition to try and squeeze these extremists out. What do you make of that?
Look, we just fundamentally disagree with the direction that Labor is taking New Zealand. I just think it's going in the wrong direction, and we've got a government that just cannot get things done. So I'd really struggle to see that happening, to be honest with you. I think that's a long shot.
Not a grand idea, Christopher.
No, I don't think so, John.